You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Howdy, this is Cowboy Jim, and I'm here to talk to you about the Cigar Nerd Podcast. Nothing I like more on the old dusty trail than sitting down and listening to two good old boys who smoke cigars and talk about nerd things like movies and TVs and comic books and all that stuff. So saddle up and ride on over to CigarNerdPodcast.com. They're also on the ESO Network. Yeehaw!
Now, Ben!
What?
That was so much better than what I do.
I know, I was like, what is that?
What are you guys talking about? That was totally Ben the whole time.
That was the entire time. Whoa. Let's
see. Hey, welcome everybody to the Con Guy Show. We are your home for news and opinions from the world of Comic-Cons, fandoms, and all things that are kind of fun, but we do it from a filmmaker's perspective. My name is Jim Fry. I'm one of your co-hosts for this week's adventure in superhero smackdowns. I guess that's the only way we can kind of describe today. Who's the con girl that we have today?
It's Katie, flying solo, Katie Kawamoto, aka Katie Christine. And excited to be the female representation, you know, since Danae is not able to be here tonight, and talk about con stuff and the hopes of things opening up again.
And I do want to remind everybody, we are in the process of launching the Con Girl. We got the Instagram up, we're getting the website up, getting other things up, and Katie and Danae are going to be kind of, I was about to say, Katie and Danae are going to man that for us. Nope, they're not going to do that.
They're going to woman it for us.
They're going to woman that for us. All right, who do we got down there, half of the Samblings crew?
Hey, I'm Derek Sams. I'm a regular on the Con Guy, so much so that I call myself Con Guy Derek while we're doing this stuff. and tonight I really wish I had something stronger than kombucha because it's been a day.
You drop 1 hour and the world changes.
Yeah, well, for especially sure. When you've got two toddlers and an infant. Because they don't read clocks. They're just like, whoa, hey.
Here
it's
we are.
It's an hour early.
They're like, no, I'm not going to bed right now. I'm not tired. What are you talking about? I'm not tired. That's if they could talk. It's more of a, no, 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 no. And then they poke you in the eye.
You're talking more people into parenting every week.
It's a beautiful thing. When I say it's been a day, I mean it's been a day in like the last 45 minutes.
It's been a lot of days.
Getting some Jameson and I'm playing Assassin's Creed until I have to go to bed.
That's right.
That sounds like a solid plan.
Yeah. Go to bed with Dr. Jameson. No. and who do we have, Mr. Cleaver?
Hey, everyone. It's old buddy Ben. And tonight I do want to point out I'm sporting this great tank top. It says, ooh, less shirt, more power. You can go check this out in various forms as well as other t-shirts with slogans like pecs need sunshine to grow over on my good buddy and friend of the show, Evan Dollard's new online store at mylostshirt.com. So go check out his merchandise there. It's fun stuff. And as we all know, my buddy Evan cares not for shirts. And he can get away with it because he's as cut
as Jim.
Yeah.
Almost. My lost.
My lost shirt.
Sure.
I just looked it up and the banner reads, wear occasionally, remove always. That's funny. Is that him that's in the picture right there? Because it's just a guy from behind doing pull-ups and he is looking very, very strong. I'll say that.
All right, everybody.
My buddy, Evan Dollard, former American Gladiator and former American Ninja Warrior competitor. I believe four, yeah.
What's the website one more time?
My Lost Shirt. It's three words, Jim.
Oh, I did shirts. I am sorry. I was
there's an R in shirt. There's an R in shirt, Jim.
Oh, yes. That's why I have a pile of manure right here. All right. We are going to have a pretty good show today. It's kind of like a grab bag, except for our premiere. The big thing that we're going to be talking about being led through a discussion. Mr. Ben Cleaver is very privileged to have seen an early advance screening of Ben, why don't you tell us what it is, and then we're going to save that for the second half of the show, though.
Oh, okay. So I guess just a little taste for the rest of the show. Through that hashtag show.com, I have apparently I've gotten a rap as the guy who interviews visual effects artists. So I've been interviewing a ton of visual effects artists, and I was reached out to a week or two ago about interviewing some of the guys from Weta Digital down in New Zealand. About their work on the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, which is coming out this week on HBO Max. It is a 6-part or a 7-part, 4-hour-long cut of the Justice League movie. Without saying anything else, to get an idea of what I'd be talking to these guys about, they sent me a digital screener that I was able to log in and watch from Warner Media Group. And I've got thoughts. I think we've got some interesting discussion ahead of us, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun.
I know. I have some questions, that's for sure.
But I am on embargo. I'm on like spoiler embargo until the 18th. So yeah.
And Derek's hiding from us right now.
Derek,
he'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back. He just messaged. So.
All right. No worries. So until he gets back on, happy St. Patrick's Week, everybody. I just want to share my awesome mug that I have here. Kiss me. I'm Irish. This is the original Patty. Get it? Peppermint Patty, celebrating Patty's Week. Oh, man. This is where I'm going to be drinking my drink tonight. Remember the good old days, Ben, when we were back in the studio? We'd have these giant coffee cups, and nobody knew what was in those coffee cups.
Well, mine was usually full of beer. For some reason there was a thing about like, oh, you can't drink branded stuff on the show. You couldn't drink like a can of Pepsi or Budweiser or something like that. But I don't know if there, I guess I always thought there was a thing of like, we had to hide what we were drinking in the mugs, but maybe that was just a joke for our show. I don't think they really had anything against drinking alcohol on the air. I think it was just, we had mugs.
And it's not like we did a good job of hiding it either. I would be with my coffee cup halfway through the show, start slurring, and everybody knew what was going on.
So it's true.
It's true. In addition to Ben kind of leading us through like a really cool discussion, spoiler free because he is on embargo. But by the way, for those of you, when something's embargoed, that means that you can not release like the information, the specific information about it until a specific date. When is your embargo date?
The 18th, which I believe is Thursday. So that's the release day.
So people,
it's like once the movie comes out, well, you know,
yeah,
can't really.
You're doing a pretty full review for that hashtag show?
I'm not doing a review. I'm just doing a there's already a review on that hashtag show, I believe. And I can't remember who wrote it off the top of my head. But snap. Hold on. Time out, everybody. Look at the last comment that Brad Young left on our YouTube page. Please put that up, Jim. Brad. Wait,
this one?
That one. Ciara.
Oh, Ciara, congratulations. Congratulations.
Oh, friend of Ciara, the show.
So Ciara just had her baby.
Mini Power Ranger. A new ranger has been brought into the world. So congratulations, everybody. This would be great if we had a live audience. They'd be like,
look at Ben welcoming the sleeveless season already. But I do have to say, Ben, since you were talking about it, here's your buddy's website right here. Yeah. Or let's get rid of this comment. So many things. I don't know how to get rid of the comments anymore. Here we go. Done. So Hex needs sunshine to grow, and I guess this is your buddy. What's his name again?
That's Evan Dollard. He's been on the show, Jim.
I remember Evan. And if I don't, I'm going to say that I do. No, I remember Evan. He was a really cool guy.
He came to the studio when we were still up in North Hollywood, Burbank. Yep.
All right, we do have a couple of surprise guests.
I don't even know what's happening tonight, so I don't even know.
Nod your heads if you're ready to join us. All right, and from the cold climates of Ohio, Cheeseman! Yeah,
and Jacob system.
Wait, let's do that. Let's do.
Oh, timing. timing, Derek.
Oh, no, sorry. Now you're cutting out Jacob.
I made it back. Almost made it look like I was getting introduced as a guest.
We have surprise serious regular guests.
Surprise, really.
Yeah, so sorry. I had to go parent.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I so might have to go parent some more before this is done.
So for those of you who are just listening, who are the two surprise guests we just had pop in?
What do you want me to say, or do you want them to say?
Are we introducing ourselves?
Introduce yourself, surprise guest.
Well, I'm Cheeseman in a different state.
A state of unconsciousness. No.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's Jake from the Jacoba system.
How's it going? Good to see you guys. I'm glad to see that you're wearing your green. Like, I've got my St. Patty's Day cup. You guys got your shamrocks on. So what's happening there in Ohio, guys?
I'm laughing at the chat right now. I don't know. we're watching They Live. That's what we've been doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you go to Ohio to chew bubble gum and kick ass?
We have no bubble gum here.
We're all out of bubble gum. But we're not out of Yuengling Light.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Ooh, you're back east. You got to have some Yuengling Light. Sorry.
Hey, it's what he's got.
It's all I have.
We had light popcorn as well, you know.
Yuengling Light.
We used to be.
Trying to be healthy. Come on.
You guys are keeping it tight. I'm trying to lose the COVID-19. That's what I'm doing. If anybody saw my Instagram post today, I was in the backyard tossing some steel earlier this early evening, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So. He's vaccinated, too.
Yes!
Double vax.
You got double pumped? Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I work for a children's hospital, so they gave it as an option for the employees, and I was like...
Oh, so you got it?
What's that?
You're vaccinated?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, let's say hello to a few people real quick. Reese the Beast. I made it. I can't believe I actually made it. Ben, great to see you. And Jim Fry, you looking sick ASF. Like always. And also, Alpha Derek, Alpha.
Oh, thanks.
F per usual. And then Ben.
Good.
All right. And we're getting there. We are going to talk about the Snyder Cut versus the Justice League. Very shortly here. We just wanted to say hello to our Ohio friends because I don't think we have them for long. Do you guys have any cool stuff to show us? If not, we're going to keep going.
You could just start grabbing stuff. I mean, there's this just sitting there. They probably already sold this thing.
Of course.
Anything?
But, grab something.
Tell you what, while you're looking.
Yeah.
This is riveting radio for those who are just listening.
Jim will like this one.
You need a condo. I'm just grabbing random stuff off my shirt.
Yes. He is holding up Godzilla.
Godzilla.
This is the original King Kong versus Godzilla. Version
1967, I think.
Yep, and then here is the newer one.
So, okay, here's the question: which one would win
of these two?
The Matthew Broderick version.
That's always. Yeah, of course.
How dare you even bring that up?
Godzilla.
I mean, they're both pretty cool.
We can find out right now.
These are collector's items.
Okay. You can't beat up this figure.
Don't even touch
them. I think we should do live battle figures.
I will say the newer, the 2014 Godzilla or whatever, the design is very cool.
He's got a flat body and a little head.
He's thick.
He's not
thick. Derek will be back soon, Reese the Beast. He's parenting.
Fat Godzilla with a little head.
God,
a little bit, yeah. And
then just to make it.
Okay, there we go.
There you go.
Wait, this isn't a fair match.
You don't need to watch. You don't need to watch it on HBO Max. We can do it right now. Ready?
Do it.
Oh, which version is that? Which version of King Kong do you got?
The old school. This is the original King Kong.
1932.
30,
yeah, whatever.
33.
All right, guys.
Jake, you broke his chains are broken on there. I can't believe you have a broken action figure. That's an embarrassment.
That's how it's supposed to be. Come on.
I know.
You know what's cool is the Empire State Building was built in 1932. 1 year later, King Kong fell from the top, making it the most recognizable building in the world. I know these facts because it's one of my favorite movies of all time, the old one. It has some problematic, you know, stuff about it, but it's the parts that are good are really good about that movie. So, all right, we do have some stuff to talk about, and Katie, we're going to save your con stuff for just in just a minute, but we got a couple cool stuff to talk about while we have, because Cheeseman and Jerilee, I think we're going to lose them pretty soon. But
I like to say Jerilee.
Jerilee. All right.
Sounds like Derek, it's from Krypton when you say it like that.
So, Derek, how's the parenting going?
It is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart. I will tell you that.
All right.
You got it easier than Jake's 2-on-1. You're 2-on-3.
Well, right now I'm 1-on-3.
Three kids to two parents. He's got one kid to two parents.
Oh, 1-on-3 while still trying to film a podcast.
Yeah. All right, guys.
What a champion. What a champ.
Got a question for you. How many of you guys saw the brand new trailer today for the Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Looks great.
Jake's good.
I already know how to watch it, so like it's.
Who wants to go first? What's your opinion? What'd you see?
I saw another dope Marvel trailer. Like, I mean, this looks to be in line with the version of the movies that these characters come from. If you look at Captain America, you look at Winter Soldier, you look at Civil War, they're carrying more of, they still got their light moments, their humor, their levity. That's not what I was going. Levity. That's been watching too many crime dramas. But you can tell this is going to be action. It's going to be drama. There are going to be some moral decisions made in this, like the Captain America series is fairly known for. So yeah, I mean, and the action just looks total badass. Like it looks amazing. The Baron coming back. Why not? Like, I love these characters and I love Sam Wilson. I love, why can't I think of his name? The actor who plays Sam Wilson.
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie. I made him laugh on set one time. I worked on a movie with him.
Nice.
Very close to Anthony Massey.
Anthony Massey. Anthony Mackie. I love him. I love Sebastian Stan. They're, I'm totally stoked. Totally stoked about it.
Katie, did you say that you saw it as well?
No, I haven't seen it because I was trying to prep some other stuff. I remember how, like, when Endgame and all those things were coming out, and some of the movies, I was like, I don't really need to see a trailer because I know I'm going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen every interview of Sebastian and Anthony. I'm pretty sure that's what the show's going to be, so, like, I'm good.
Yeah. Derek, did you see it?
No, I was trying to get,
you're the best nerd ever.
All right.
Big opinions.
Cheeseman and Jerilee, since I don't know how long we have you guys for, did you guys see the trailer?
Yeah, we just watched it, and Jake's a big comic guy, so he's got some cool things to say.
Well, we were just talking about this a minute ago, and I was saying how I love, now that we're getting these series and they're really giving him attention to the detail of comic stuff, like we were just watching the trailer, and the Falcon, I noticed his wings looked very comic, like how they look in the comic as opposed to how they looked in the movies, and I was like, wow, they're really like capturing that. And also the fact that
because it had more like the feather outside looks, look, you know, not like actual feathers, but kind of the design wise
it looked more
like a bird.
And also how Baron Zemo, you're actually gonna get him with the mask now, how he looks in the comics, which I always thought was kind of a crappy thing that things would happen in the movies where they're like, we got to make it a Marvel movie. We got to make a comic movie, but we can't make it too much of a comic movie. We can't have a guy wear a mask. You know, that's why you never saw him with a mask in Civil War.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of masks and heroes in that movie.
Right, yeah. So
they didn't really have him, like, fighting or doing anything. But he was showing me some stuff on YouTube where it's like, because I had no idea they were going to bring him back, and I didn't even think about that for some reason. But that he was kind of bringing the awareness of that up, and we were watching some stuff where it talked about the special forces and all that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say about the visuals. Like, it's also, we didn't really I wasn't around for the last episode you guys did with talking about WandaVision, how you finally get to see her in the Scarlet Witch outfit that you never got to see in any of the movies. And it's like, we're finally getting it now that we're having these examples of, you know, the TV shows, and you can really delve into the comic books, and all the real nerds can be like, yes, we're finally getting the versions that we want to see, you know?
Yeah. And Jake, are you familiar? And I know, wait, we got one more person. Derek's back. He's coming and going.
Yeah. This time it was just me being old.
Okay. And Ben, I know you're somewhat familiar, but like, are you guys familiar, the thing that's a big deal about this is who is going to eventually carry the shield of Captain America? Because they're kind of being a little bit cagey, a little bit, you know, I hear myself being repeated.
Yeah, I was going to say.
From our computer? I don't have my normal mic, you know.
That thing one, too. It's done. This done.
Turn it down a little bit. We'll use our old ears to listen.
Because I wrote an article for a publication about this. It's kind of cool that they're kind of going into what Jake was talking about being a little bit more comic booky. For example, Steve Rogers, definitely he was the first guy to have the shield. But also it was held by Bucky Barnes for a while. It was held by Sam Wilson for a while. And they're kind of like hinting that either one of them might. I think they're going to surprise us. I know that as far as some of the villainous stuff, we're going to get some surprises. But who else has carried the shield? Do you guys know?
Howard the Duck?
Superman at one point in the DC Marvel crossover, and I'm not even joking.
Are you serious?
There is a great shot in the DC versus Marvel comics of Superman with Mjolnir in one hand and the Captain America shield on the other.
Oh, wow.
It's a great shot.
And there's a comment here. I honestly think Captain Marvel should be the only one to carry the shield. I don't know what that means, but the Captain America is kind of – okay. There's some crazy comments
there. Read the comments before you put them on the screen, Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
You really have to.
I thought it said something else. He likes to think out loud. No, but here's some cool people that have held the shield over the years. Remember Luke Cage and Jessica Jones? They had a daughter who, in an alternate timeline, her name is Danielle Cage. She had the shield for a while. And there's a Marvel series coming on called What If on Disney Plus, and we're going to see Peggy Carter carry the shield for a little bit, which is kind of cool.
That's going to be animated, I saw, right? Yep. Like, and they're bringing a lot of the actual actors to do the voices, so
yeah,
that sounds very interesting.
And there's a guy, his name was Isaiah Bradley. He was an African-American guy. He had the shield for a while, and they also my list just went away. And plus, there was a couple of other characters, so it's kind of a lot of people. Anyway, so I'm kind of very interested to see what's going to be happening there. Anything else with that particular topic? By the way, I want to remind everybody, the first Saturday in May 1st, free comic book day. So hopefully we're all going to be getting out to the comic book stores and seeing it. But we have a little this thing over here. Another announcement that came out recently, and this is a casting announcement was made today. Are you guys familiar at all with Secret Invasion? Ben, you probably are. The Marvel storyline?
A little bit. I'm more familiar with the old 80s Secret Wars, and then they did another Secret Wars recently in the comics. But Secret Invasion, I believe, is it's not Kree. What's the other race?
It's the Skrull.
It's the Skrull, yes, that's right.
It's really cool, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a Skrull invasion. It's an interesting concept. Now, is this one? I've heard a little bit about the Secret Invasion show, and I know that we've got a casting announcement that came out today. Right. But is this going to be a live action? Is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the guy who was chosen, who was cast today, his name's Kingsley Ben-Adir. He is in the movie that's online right now called One Night in Miami, which I've been wanting to see. It's getting rave reviews. But he was cast alongside Samuel L. Jackson, who is in every Marvel show. Thank goodness. He saves the universe every time. And Ben Mendelsohn, It's called it's a Disney Plus Marvel series called Secret Invasion. His character is the exact character details for Benadir is being kept under wraps. However, according to sources, he's going to be playing a main villain. Jackson will reprise the role of Nick Fury, and Mendelsohn will play the Skrull Talos, as he did in Captain Marvel. Secret Invasion centers on Fury and Talos, who first met during Captain Marvel, and a faction of shape-shifting Skrulls who have been infiltrating the Earth for years. That's the thing that's so cool about Secret Invasion, is it's going to probably turn part of our Marvel universe on its head. And sorry, reading comments again. And
if I may, Jim, there is heated debate going on, particularly on the Twitch chat right now, between Les Payne, Laughlin, Reese the Beast, perhaps a handful, Just Dog, a handful of others. And I just want to remind everybody, we are here to keep things positive. We are here for the love of the game, so to speak. So remember, at the end of the day, we all still love these movies. We still love these characters. Yeah. We can have a debate, but keep it friendly in the comments. But we're not ignoring you. We were also, because we're having our own discussion on the show here, we were, somebody asked if we were ignoring the comments, and we're not. We're keeping an eye on them.
Also, please Les Payne,
I love you too.
Katie's doing her best too to try to.
Hey, Reese the Beast, don't worry about it. Everybody gets heated every once in a while. No worries.
Reese the Beast has had so many great positive things to say and is usually so encouraging in here. We're going to, you know, we can be forgiving.
Yeah. All right. Last piece of news, and this is one that I think Derek might like. I'm not really sure. It's Star Trek news. The team behind the acclaimed Star Trek Deep Space Nine documentary called What We Left Behind, as well as William Shatner's The Captains and a delightful host of other Star Trek documentaries, announces new updates and funding for the yet untitled Voyager documentary. They have gone on to raise $700,000 in funding on Indiegogo so far, which is, someone was saying it's close to a record. I don't think it's a complete record, because I remember like Con Man, they raised $2.5 million the Con Man with Alan Tudyk. Man. Yeah.
The I was on that show.
I know, this is so cool.
I think I'm in two episodes.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm background. It's not that big of a deal. I'm background.
Hey, take it. You claim that, man. Don't downplay that. The team promises fans of the series a unique film that will meet or exceed all expectations. Whatever. Anyways, it's being spearheaded by 455 Films and is comprised of professionals from many parts of the Star Trek productions over the years. If you guys have any questions, you can email them at voyagerdocumentary@gmail.com. I think this is Derek. Did you like Voyager?
You know what? I was like back and forth back in the day. And like as an adult, when I rewatched it all, I did really like the direction it went in. Because when it first aired, like I was pretty young. And I saw some episodes and I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I was like, wait, what are they doing here? And it did take a couple of seasons to really hit its stride. But all in all, it was a really good one. And some people call it the most Trek of the Star Trek series because it's called Voyager and it literally, but also it has a whole lot more exploration to it than you had with something like Deep Space Nine, where it's a very different type of series. You know, they're stationed somewhere at a station, right. Whereas Voyager, it's like they're in a completely different sector of the galaxy and they're seeing all these alien races and things that none of the other series encounter. And then once they brought in the Borg, there was some really amazing drama there. But yes, I'm definitely interested in checking this documentary out.
Voyager saw Lost in Space and said, hold my beer.
Back? Lost in Space? Are they doing the second season for that, or did that just kind of get canceled?
They've done three seasons.
They did?
Yeah, I was gonna say there's been more than one season. I didn't realize there was a third though.
I think there's three. I'm pretty sure there's three. Really? Seasons. There's at least two. I know that.
Nothing.
I mean,
about
it'd be very
it.
Easy to find out. We've all got internet browsers open right in front of us.
Yeah. No. I haven't seen anything about it, so I thought it was like not even on. Wow. My bad. Okay, y'all.
I think they did. Like the first season wasn't as Les Payne says three. I think the first season wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be. I guess. Yeah. I loved the first season. I thought it was great. And they made two more seasons, and then I think they quietly kind of brushed it away. But let me...
Gotcha. I just didn't know they made more. I watched it, but I didn't know Yeah. All right.
So, hey, that's loud. Hey, Darley, do you watch Star Trek at all?
Not really. I'm nothing against Star Trek. I'm more of a fan of the original series.
Yeah.
I've not really.
But there's a major reason, because he's a major Star Wars. If you look around his little collection.
Right, I got to go help somebody again.
Tons of Star Wars.
We've lost Derek.
It happened.
I have nothing against Star Trek. I have put everything into Star Wars. No, I respect Star Trek immensely for, you know, inspiring a lot of things. And you could say, in a way, it's inspired Star Wars, even though, you know, George says it was inspired by Buck Rogers and things like that. But, you know, it definitely has its place in sci-fi history and, you know, there's all the praise it gets. I never really grew up watching it. I wouldn't see like reruns of the original series, but I don't think I've ever, this is shocking. I don't think I've ever seen an entire episode of Next Generation.
What? If Derek was here right now, he would just.
I'm glad he left.
And
I'm sorry.
I grew up more on, the original Captain Kirk.
But
and Spock
I have
and
seen,
Next Generation.
But I have seen movies. I've seen like Generations and things like that. So I'm aware of it, but it never was my thing because I was Star Wars all the way.
It's all about the toys for him.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you have any Star Trek toys there in the playroom?
I only have one.
Of course you do.
Well, hang on.
I could be totally off on this, but it doesn't seem like there's as big of a market for Star Trek toys.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's not even really a toy. It's a DVD case, but it was the J.J. Abrams.
Oh, okay. Wait, let me.
Enterprise.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
The Kelvin timeline.
This is the So it has its own stand and everything, and then when you open it, at the top it has.
Is awesome. Movies.
Oh wow!
The sauce. That's pretty cool.
Who still buys DVDs more often than most people, I like that. That's awesome. Yeah.
This was like around that time. This came out in 2009. No.
Hang on.
There he is. Oh, he's back.
Derek's like, you had me at this.
We got you back.
And this is how you get me to buy Back to the Future and Jaws for like the fourth or fifth time, is make it the DVD come in like the shark's mouth or in the DeLorean.
Well, around the time this came out, this was 2009 when the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie came out. Mm-hmm. And it was a big thing that they were doing, like The Dark Knight. They had like a special Blu-ray that came in like the cowl mask that you'd open up and stuff. And then I think they had one with like the bat cycle from that movie and everything, like similar kind of like models, and you'd open it up and have like the DVD or the Blu-ray inside. So
I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea.
Unfortunately, it's kind of a lost art, but this is my one piece of Star Trek merchandise I own.
Derek, while you were gone, Jake revealed to us he has never seen a single episode of The Next Generation.
I'm sorry.
Oh, and that's the best.
I'm sorry.
It's not just the best Star Trek. It is the best show that has ever been on television.
I've been doing nothing for the last 2.5 weeks but watching Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm halfway through season 3 right now, and I'm just at the beginning, and I'm rolling through. Yeah. I've watched it before, but it's been years, and it's so good. It's so well done. It's so well written.
Yeah. Like I was saying about Voyager, you know, it takes a couple seasons before they hit their stride. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the series did that.
7 of 9, when she shows up, is when they hit their stride.
Right. But The Next Generation, too, is pretty cheesy for those first couple of seasons. And even later, they have some cheesy episodes. Like, no show is going to have, like, every episode be amazing. But
Derek,
even when Star Trek has its worst episodes, they're still so much fun to watch.
Yeah. And Derek, I was saying, I'm aware of a lot of this, the lore, the characters and stuff, because I've seen a lot of the movies. Like,
you're aware of lore?
Yeah, Generations. And
compelling character.
The lore. But at the time when it was on, it was just so far away from my, what I was into and stuff. So not against it, it just wasn't my thing, which is funny because so many people I know and went to school with and stuff, like growing up in the 90s, and other kids, other classmates who had never seen Star Wars, I'm like, you've never seen Star Wars? Really? Like, yeah, I've never seen it. Like, that's crazy to me. So
we went to Christian school, so they probably found something.
Christian
school. Well, so did I. I had one friend who had not seen Star Wars.
Yeah.
And we were all like, oh.
Luke and I took a class in college, and one of the early things they did, there was like they do like the whole film, you know, like
I don't know what you're saying right now.
Film and literature talked about like the whole like process of writing the scripts and everything. You have like the hero's journey, all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And he used Star Wars as the example.
Yeah, the Joseph Campbell type stuff.
Thank you.
I caught up to this. Film and Lit.
So, and the teacher picked A New Hope as an example of how to do that. And everyone was like, okay, I get it. This is the wizard. This, you know, this is the old man. This is the young person's journey and stuff. Yeah, one girl in the class who was like, I've never seen Star Wars. I have no idea what you're talking about. And the teacher was like, really?
I want to give us plenty of time to talk about the Snyder Cut. Plus, we're losing viewers right now, so we're gonna try to.
I was gonna say the chat.
Everybody watched Star Wars.
The chat has been dead for 6 minutes now. Like,
yeah,
wake up, guys. Okay,
did we lose everybody? Okay, I blame Jim.
This has been a great conversation. Derek, I can't wait for this. It's, by the way, the people that are doing the documentary, they also did the one For the Love of Spock, directed by Adam Nimoy, the son of Leonard Nimoy. So these people have some credentials. I'm really excited to – look at Ben. He's getting excited. But before we jump into Snyder Cut, Katie, can you tell us a little bit of con news coming up?
Yeah. So obviously, if you guys have been watching the show for a while, you know that – cons are our thing. We usually talk a lot about cons and how to prepare for cons and things you need to know and the panels we want to see and all that jazz. Well, then COVID happened. And we're coming up, this week we hit the 1 year that was supposed to be 2 weeks. So last year, this time, we were gearing up for WonderCon 2019 or 2020. Wow, I don't even know what year it is anymore, y'all. Anyway, 2020. And then it got canceled. And so now this year's WonderCon is unfortunately also not able to happen in person. But as we heard us talk about it, it is going to still be happening virtually online on the 26th and 27th. And the official programming guide officially launched on their website. So if you guys want to check it out, there's going to be a whole bunch of panels on there from a wide variety of topics. Last year, I believe they tried to do 3 days, but this year they cut it down to two. So another fun thing that they're doing for WonderCon that I found particularly special is if you guys are familiar with the con circuit, you know that you can normally volunteer at a convention to get a free day's badge. Obviously, you can't volunteer in an event that is virtual. They are doing a volunteer challenge, or what they're calling the Super Volunteer Challenge, and it's open up until the end, up until the day that WonderCon is done on March 27th. You can choose an organization in your area that accepts volunteers and sign up to be a volunteer for a day or a week or however long you want. And then it says examples like food banks, animal shelters, vaccine centers. I know that they are taking volunteers as well. And then you can complete your assignment. And then once you're done with that, you'll email WCVOLchallenge@wondercon.com. And you say a little bit about what you did, the work you did, the experience you had, and send a photo to them. And then you'll include your Comic-Con member ID in that email as well. And if you complete the challenge, you will be sent a downloadable Super Volunteer badge in recognition. So I thought that was a pretty cool thing. So if you guys are interested in that, definitely give that a shot. There's more information about this and the entire programming schedule on the comiccon.org/WCA.
What was the email again?
WCVOL challenge. So just think WC volunteer challenge, but without the and tier part. Yeah. And then as you guys know, last week I mentioned how Anime Expo had not officially been canceled, but it has now as of now been canceled. And so there is going to be some sort of online experience according to the statement that they made on their blog, but the physical event has been canceled. But there's not a lot of information about that, but you can sign up for updates via their websites if you want to know more about Anime Expo. Anime Expo is always July 4th weekend. It is no different for the online presence that they're going to have. It's hard to say what it's going to be. Probably a lot of hashtags, probably a lot of just certain things like that. And badges will be refunded if you have badges, which I believe are badges from last year that rolled over to this year. But either way, badges will be refunded. Also, I forgot to mention, WonderCon did announce that they're doing a masquerade again. So if you are a cosplayer or a costumer and you want to join, there's information about that on the website as well. This week, LA Comic Con announced MicroCon, which is a live digital event on Saturday, April 17th. It has all the elements of an in-real-life convention, but for 4 hours of content. And it's hosted by Sideshow Collectibles, which is pretty awesome. It's going to have your favorite celebrities, creators, and artists, and tickets are on sale on March 19th. They're going to have virtual meet and greets. Sideshow Collectibles will have a booth tour, virtual, and they're going to have a super fan mall with interactive digital super fan, a place to find and look for all the things that you find at a convention. So that's pretty cool. And last but not least, I'm going to have a little bit of a somewhat gaming news, because we do have some people here from Twitch, and I myself am a huge fan of gaming. And then if you guys are listening, there is a graphic on there for the live event for Comic-Con, LA Comic-Con. But if you guys have heard, there's a game called Ghost of Tsushima. It was nominated for Game of the Year this year in the Game Awards. Unfortunately, it did not win. But it was announced, I believe, last week that the developers of the game were just appointed ambassadors of Tsushima Island. Nate Fox and Jason Connell, who are both directors, were chosen by the island to become permanent tourism ambassadors. The city also announced its intentions to work alongside Sony Entertainment to create a new tourism campaign based on the video game, and it will encourage fans to visit and learn more about the island's history and landmarks. So I thought that was pretty cool. It helps, you know, a lot. There's a lot of negative things that can be said about video games in general, not just Ghost of Tsushima, about them promoting violence and everything. And this is just proof that there's so much good that can come out of video games. And this is one of those things. And obviously anything about Japanese history is important to me. And in lieu of, without getting too political, in lieu of everything that's been going on for Asian American elders, it's nice to see somebody being able to educate other people and help them. So.
That's right. And by the way, I don't think it's being too political to say, don't be mean to people because of their race or their culture. Just stop.
That's
it.
That's an understatement.
If you're dogs, if you're like that, I'm just going to tell you, don't do that. That's just mean.
Yeah.
That's just mean. And I don't think it's a controversial statement to say that. Anything else, Katie?
There was something and I totally forgot it. I was like, don't forget to say this. Don't forget to say this. And it wasn't in my notes. It was something I was going to say. And
there is one thing that this week, if you guys want to check it out, Sideshow, they're having their big birthday celebration all week long. Just Google Sideshow Collectibles, and they're having panels all day long, all the way through Friday, streaming, giving away all kinds of free stuff. So it's a really cool thing. So
it's my birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
We're not going to listen to that whole thing.
We're already 42 and a half minutes in.
All right. So for those of you who came to hear about the Snyder Cut and Justice League.
It's not that hard.
Here, all right. I want to hear about it, dude.
How much you been drinking, Jim?
Wait, no. It's coffee, of course.
Of course, naturally. Just like we used to drink back at the Popcorn Talk show. Hey, everybody. It's me, old buddy Ben. So first of all, I just want to say the chat's been dead. Where are all my Twitch streamers at? Have all our Twitch viewers left?
I think we got people not
to be mean to each other on the internet, and they said that's not for me, and they left. I don't know what happened. Because I do interviews with visual effects artists for that hashtag show, I was approached by the lovely PR firm that represents the digital artists down at Weta Digital, who worked on Justice League, both Justice League and the Snyder Cut. And they said, hey, you want to interview these guys? And I was like, sure. And they're like, oh, by the way, we're going to send you a digital screener. So I got to watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League last week. Now, I am embargoed from revealing any spoilery things. So I can only talk about stuff that happened in the Wait, you told Sharon Osbourne to be nice and she signed off, Ben. Sharon Osbourne was in the comments? I didn't know that. Oh, Jonathan Wilkinson's still here. Wilkinson's still here.
He's Jonathan!
Our loyal...
Thanks, Jonathan.
My boy! My loyal boy! So there... Okay, so Snyder Cut versus Justice League. First of all, personal opinion after I watched it. Listen, guys. I watched the Justice League, the Joss Whedon version, the original version of Justice League. We got the version we thought we were, that was it. That was the only Justice League we were going to get. And I couldn't watch it without drinking. And same thing with the first Suicide Squad movie. But what I'm hoping is a trend with the second version of the movie with the same characters. Listen, the Zack Snyder cut, these are things that are not unknown. These are not spoilers. It's a 4-hour long movie. It's in something like 7 parts with an epilogue or something like that. Like the pretzels, yes. This movie is making me thirsty. I can always count on Jonathan Wilkinson for a good Seinfeld quote. It's 4 hours. Does it need to be 4 hours? Probably not. I think Zack Snyder was like, you want a Snyder cut? I'm not making any cuts. I'm using everything that we shot, every last second of film that we shot. And so there are some parts that, listen, overall, I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. And I don't know if it's because it was so good or because the first version was so bad, but I really liked this version of Justice League. And there was some parts of it where it's like, oh man, like, did they really need all of this in here? Like, and they probably didn't, but Snyder is able to take his time and flesh out every little detail that he wanted to flesh out in the story. And so that helps everything kind of make more sense. They've also gone in and they've changed a lot of the digital effects. It's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer that Darkseid shows up now.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in the original version. And in fact, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but
we saw a glimpse. No, we saw a hint in the dream or the nightmare right. scene. Yeah.
Well, that was in Batman versus Superman, wasn't it? That nightmare scene, or was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were trying to set up for having him be in the Justice League movie and right. then he wasn't.
But they basically, they went over all the digital effects and all the digital shots. And let me tell you what, 1 full hour of this 4-hour film is purely visual effects. They went through, and this was a short time frame from when they announced, oh, we're going to do the Snyder Cut. They had to shoot a bunch more stuff and redo basically all of the visual effects. They've added in completely visual effects scenes, or almost completely visual effects scenes, lengthy scenes. And the story is much more fleshed out. I gave a crap about the characters in this one. I actually cared about the characters. And I love the casting. I've loved the casting since the beginning. I love Henry Cavill. I love Ben Affleck. I love Gal Gadot. I love what's his name as the Flash?
Ezra Miller.
Yeah, Ezra Miller.
Oh, yeah.
I know he's a little problematic off the set, I guess, but he's so charming as Barry Allen. And yeah. he was charming in the first one too, but he's so charming as Barry Allen, and of course Khal Drogo as Aquaman is fantastic. Yeah. There's a thing where he's always just taking his shirt off throughout the whole film, and I guess that's fine with most people. I was fine with it.
I mean, it's Jason Momoa, you know, he can do that.
Yeah,
I mean, Henry Cavill had his shirt off a lot in the Justice League version too, you know.
Again, not.
And I don't think anybody was complaining.
And that's
not going to complain.
Wait. How do the con girls feel?
Trust me, I know I can speak for Danae and I that we are A-okay with both of those things. Although I'm not like a massive Jason Momoa fan, but you know.
Cavill.
Have you guys seen the thing that marks whether my dishes are clean or dirty? It's Henry Cavill.
I have a CGI question. Did they put Superman's mustache back on? Would that make it
absolutely
better?
In fact, it's a handlebar this time.
Okay.
Mm.
A lot of mustache wax, digital mustache wax.
He looks just like, when you thought Henry Cavill couldn't get any hotter.
He looks like a
give him the handlebar mustache.
But it really did. There was a lot of the stuff that was really goofy and silly from the Joss Whedon version of Justice League that they just took out, which was fine. I was fine with. And there's a lot of scenes that are similar or the same from Justice League just because they were, or from the Joss Whedon version, just because they are part of the story that was already established by the time Joss Whedon came in. But the other thing that I think people might not be expecting, and if you've watched the trailers online, you might have been like, what's wrong with this? The movie was originally intended to be presented on like a 3,000 foot high IMAX screen, right? Mm-hmm. So the movie is in 1.33:1 ratio, which is like you're watching an old TV show from the 90s framing, okay? And I'm sure there's probably going to be a lot of people that are going to be weirded out by that. But I've been watching so much Star Trek The Next Generation, I was just used to the black bars on the side of the screen. But basically, this square that I'm in right now is the aspect ratio of the Snyder Cut, which is fine.
It's an Instagram square.
Basically, yeah, pretty much. The other thing that I will say, because this is also something I can say, I got particularly excited when they released the promotional shot of Jared Leto's Joker appearing in the Justice League movie. And because I hated the Joker in Suicide Squad. I absolutely despise him. And I've told the story on the show before of my kind of evolution on my opinion and thoughts on Jared Leto. But I'll just say that his appearance, and I won't say when, where, or how, but his appearance in the Snyder Cut didn't disappoint. There are some scenes that are great scenes in the movie, separate thought, some scenes that are great scenes that might not really be that necessary or kind of feel out of place, but they're cool. Like, they're cool scenes, but do they need to be in there? Probably not, but hey, you know, this is the Snyder Cut, and you can tell he's trying to weave some certain storylines that he's got in his head that maybe we aren't privy to everything that are going to be connected to movies, three movies down the road if he ends up getting that far, but overall, I enjoyed it. I did not feel like I wasted 4 hours of my life. I enjoyed it. And I didn't even drink because I gave up drinking for Lent.
Yep, you did. Oh, good for you. Good for you. I have a question.
Yes.
And it refers to Brad's question. The new trailer, he says, did not solve his issue of the original being way too much CGI. What do you think about that comment? Like, is it still way too much CGI, or?
There's a lot of CGI. Well, like I said, a quarter of the movie is CGI. That's what I talked to the digital effects guys or the visual effects guys about, is like, there's an hour of this film. There's an hour of CGI across the film. It's not just like 1 hour block is only CGI. But what I will say is, if you're comparing apples to apples, if you're looking at the CGI from the Joss Whedon version compared to the Snyder version, it's night and day. Like, the digital effects look so good in this. Wait till you see Steppenwolf in the Snyder Cut, because they basically overhauled him. And he looks amazing. Yeah. Not to mention they added in Darkseid into this version, which, again, I can say because it's in the trailer. But
it's in the trailer,
They pulled a Sonic, it sounds like.
Yeah, but they kind of pulled a Sonic. Yeah. Which, side note, I've had so many friends on Facebook recently. Like, one friend was like, me and my girlfriend just watched Sonic, the movie, and why haven't we seen this before? This is amazing. And I was like, one of the writers has been on our podcast.
Yeah, I had my friend tell me that he watched it this weekend also, or like this recently too. And I'm like, really? You just watched it? And he's like, yeah, it was delightful. I was like, I know.
He's still Derek's best friend, I think, right?
I think so. I don't know if anybody's really unseated him. Like, Bruce Valanche just failed miserably. So,
yeah. So Ben, you kind of answered my question, but you said you don't feel like you wasted 4 hours. The second part of my question is, did it feel like 4 hours though?
There's a little bit of a bell curve, I'd say. So it starts off, and now, of course, going into it, I was completely skeptical because of my opinion of the original. And so it starts off and you're like, okay. And then you kind of start getting into it. And then like maybe about the second hour from about minute 60 to about minute 120 or so, like that second hour, kind of go down. And then like he takes his time with it. So there's yes and no, it's push and pull. Like some of it, you're like, okay, can we get to the next scene? And some of it's like, I can't get enough of this. I'm eating it up with a spoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there surprises we don't know? You don't need to reveal anything, but should we be prepared? There may be some surprise that people will be talking about.
Yes. Yes, there absolutely will be. There are some things that were not in the Joss Whedon version, perhaps recognizable. I don't even know. There's some recognizable nouns.
Are you about to make us do a viral?
A noun can be a person, place, or thing. A noun is a person, place, or thing. So I will say there
are we going to do Mad Lib spoilers now?
Yeah. Like a handful of recognizable. Yeah.
Is there a Robin reveal? Just kidding.
Oh, De Niro. I heard some things.
Yeah.
I heard some things.
There's definitely some things that you're going to be like, ooh, like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. is it obvious, like, the parts, like, what is the line of demarcation between the Joss stuff and the Snyder stuff? Or does it feel as if all the Joss Whedon stuff has been removed?
It definitely looks like, if you watch this movie and go back and look at the Joss Whedon version, it's like they took the Zack Snyder concept, they smashed it together and they put it through a Joss Whedon filter. And it feels like, I mean, clearly there it's in some essence the same movie, but it feels like a different project, a different type of story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely feels like a different animal from the Joss Whedon version, in my opinion. Yeah.
Cool. And when he says an hour of CGI, that means Christopher Reeves is in it.
Say that again?
When you say it, there's an hour of CGI in it, that means Christopher Reeves makes a cameo. Yes.
Oh, I would love that so much!
And he's riding a horse.
Yeah.
Katie, what were you saying?
So Ben.
We just got canceled.
I did not see the original. So y'all know that I have not seen the original to compare it to. But do you think that this could have just come out and done? Do you think that the original version had to come out for this to be as good as it is? Does that make sense? I can't think of how to word it. But like,
are you saying is this one so?
They had.
It's kind of like if the Sonic, the first Sonic trailer have to come out to make what actually came out good.
Yeah.
Or if we had never seen Joss's version, would everybody be as excited about this version? I think kind of is.
Yeah.
By the way, it sounded like I apologize. Let's not.
Is this one so, you're saying is this one, does this one seem so much better because the first one was so bad? Like, did I like this one so much because I disliked the original one so much? I think that there's definitely a hand in it. I think in some sense, Zack Snyder's playing with a little bit of house money because the Joss Whedon version set the bar so low, I think, in my opinion, but if the Joss Whedon version would have never existed and they would have released a 4-hour movie of Justice League of Zack Snyder, people would have crucified.
Yeah.
Like, they just on merit alone of it being a 4-hour movie. And I don't think this needed to be 4 hours. Yeah. He packed everything into it. And there's a lot of really good, like I said, a lot of good development and just like good supportive stuff that he puts in there that makes me care about the characters, because the Joss Whedon version felt so compressed and so rushed. And I was just like, what is even going on?
And Zack Snyder's kind of known for like having long visions of movies. Like they have like the director's cuts of like Watchmen and other films that he's done that are like 300. Yeah. Things that are like really extended cuts that the studio, I guess, was like, you gotta do some cuts. You gotta trim it down a little bit, you know.
It's never a good idea to give everybody the complete vision, in my opinion, sometimes. I mean, very rarely can you give a writer, director, somebody like full access to the vision and them not do something that's a little over the top. I think everybody needs someone to, at least one person to say no to them.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, it's somewhat, I think it is somewhat self-indulgent. It seems like they were just like, do whatever you want. And he was like, okay, 4 hours. But at the same time, with the last few years that I think Zack Snyder had the experience that he had that caused him to leave the original production, mm-hmm. you know, I think he's entitled to a little bit of indulgence in telling the story and the way that he wants to and with the length that he wants to make it. So, you know, I'm not going to be a Snyder hater. Sometimes I'm just like, what are you doing, dude? But other times I'm like, this is all, like 300. I love 300. And there's a little bit, I talked to the digital effects guys and they did say, you know, with some of the visual effects and stuff like that, he'll go back and borrow some stuff. Like they said at one point he sent them a screenshot from Sucker Punch and said, this is kind of the way that I want this scene to look, you know? And it definitely visually is very Zack Snyder. It's very dark, you know, there's even when it's sunny outside on the plains of Kansas, it's like dark and gray, you know? But that's his style. That's the way he does it. And there was some stuff in here. I love 300 and there is some of the scenes that are in like Themyscira that are, I thought a little bit reminiscent of 300 visually. And I thought they were really cool. And gosh, Amazons are badass.
Yeah.
The Amazons are so badass in this movie.
It was the best part of Wonder Woman 1984. Mm-hmm. I would argue, in my opinion. Hey, and we are going to kind of try to wrap it up here, but does anybody have any other questions about this? I'm going to throw one out there. How much new stuff is in this? I mean, probably about 2 hours worth of new stuff, but I mean, does it feel like there are the new created stuff, not the stuff that's been sitting in the drawer, but like,
right.
Can you feel, is it
like over half, maybe more?
As far as like reshot stuff that they did recently, I couldn't tell you. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that I was like, oh yeah, I remember that from the Joss Whedon version. But it's a different scene now because, you know, there's different lines or there's a different outcome to the scene or whatever it may be. But I couldn't tell you what they had sitting in the can and what they did for the reshoots. I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, it all flowed together as one thing. But then again, when you're watching it for 4 hours, I'm not hitting every detail that's on the screen when I'm watching a movie for 4 hours.
Oh, no, there's no way.
Ben Affleck lost a bunch of weight recently. So probably you couldn't tell anything with the actors before or after where there's just a weird thing of like, oh, they look different. Either they're more ripped or they lost weight or they
gained weight.
Who lost weight?
Ben Affleck got real skinny again for a while. I don't know if he's still super skinny, but he went back to like, you know, early days, like Good Will Hunting skinny.
One thing I realized while watching this movie, and I think this was true of the Joss Whedon cut and Batman v Superman, is just like, I was watching, I was like, Batman is big. Like he's, like, he just walks in like this. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I love Ben Affleck's Batman suit. I really do. But he's so thick that I'm like, he almost looks like he can't move in that suit. Like,
I always felt that way, too.
Batman.
You know?
People complained about the Michael Keaton suit back in 89, that it was too, like, muscular and bulky.
Really? Wow.
Yikes.
I mean, there's always problems with the bat suit in people's opinions. But I did want to add, though, that on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 75% rating right now, and that's with that's only critics because they don't have the ability for anybody else to critique movies ever since, I believe, Captain Marvel came out. They had to change it, which is high because Batman versus Superman was 28%, and Man of Steel was 56%. And Man of Steel, I mean, I enjoyed Man of Steel.
Man of Steel's not bad. But
I have mixed feelings of Man of Steel. I don't know if I can say that it's not bad.
It's the, I believe, fourth highest DC because it follows Wonder Woman was the highest with 93, Shazam was 90%, and Harley Quinn was weirdly at 78. So that's interesting to me.
Really? Harley Quinn was better than it got credit for, I will say.
But I was surprised because I was like, Shazam deserved that 90%, and so did Wonder Woman deserving that 93%. So, but 75% is good for Rotten Tomatoes. So,
I got a question for you, Ben. All right, so people have different opinions on Zack Snyder. Mm-hmm. Mine, of course, is often mixed. Largely, I've not been a big fan. Like, I know 300 is cool, generally. I never loved it the way some people do. And, like, I've not been a fan of Zack Snyder's DC stuff, mainly because I feel like he's never really gotten Superman's personality or what he's supposed to represent right in the movies. So I've got, like, all my opinions about Zack Snyder, generally, although I hear he's a great guy in person and a really fun comic book nerd. That said, if somebody's not a big fan of Zack Snyder, would they like this or maybe better, or would they still just feel the same way?
I would say if I look back at, listen, I like Watchmen as a comic and concept. I did not care for the Watchmen movie. I think to your question, if you're not a Zack Snyder fan, I think you can find a lot of stuff to enjoy in this. I think if you're a DC Comics fan, you kind of have to accept the fact that the Snyderverse is the universe in which this story is happening. But I definitely feel like I liked this a lot more than the three previous Superman Batman films, like Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and the Joss Whedon version. I definitely liked it better than the Joss Whedon version. I think even if you're not quote unquote a Zack Snyder fan, I think you'll find some things to enjoy in this. It's 4 hours. It's hard not to find something to enjoy.
But I think this was made during COVID times. So it's like, they're like, if you can binge watch Tiger King, all this other stuff for hours on end, they're like, you can watch 4 hours of Batman. So that's maybe kind of how they justified it, with people being home still somewhat. And,
they justified it.
Just to legify.
I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of like the best case scenario for a time for long movies in that sense, because like, if I'm in a theater, I'm going to have to be like, okay, where can I go to the bathroom?
And like, I hate that.
And that's like always the hardest part. And you're like, am I gonna like make it the right time? And at home you're just like, I'm gonna go get a snack and just pause it. So I mean, that's, I think, good in this particular sense.
I'll go ahead.
Ben, let me ask you a question. And wait, if you want to respond to Katie, because my question is, I'm reading a review of it right now. I just want to ask you a question from this review.
Okay. Katie, can you summarize what you said one more time? I'm so sorry.
Basically, I think it's a good time for, you know, we're all at home a lot. We have 4 hours. But the good thing is sometimes you lose some of the power of a four-hour movie because you're like, I really have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
If you're watching it at home, you can enjoy it more because you're able to be like, okay, and now that I've been able to take a break and come back to it and focus fully, I think that might help it a little bit.
I think that helped because I could relax. I was in my living room. If I needed to, I could pause it to take the dog for a walk or whatever. The only pain in the butt for me was, it was like, I was on a special like Warner Brothers screener. And so like when I paused it, if it was paused for too long, then it would like blank out. And then I'd have to like get the code sent to my phone again and re-log in and that sort of thing. But you know, security measures, they don't want this getting out to everybody too early, even though they literally accidentally released it to everybody too early. Did you hear about that? That was the thing that came out on HBO Max for like thousands of
instead
subscribers.
Of Tom and Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Another one I actually want to see. But I'll end with these two thoughts, and then we'll do Jim's question. But if I said right after I finished watching it, I the next morning, because my wife flat out fell asleep because it was 4 hours. And if you start something and it goes past 9 p.m., my wife will fall asleep. A movie is what I mean. Anyway, the next morning I was talking to my wife and I was like, it turns out that Zack Snyder can make a halfway decent superhero movie. He just needs 4 hours to do it. Mm. And the other thing that I thought after I finished the movie is there was so much good stuff that I liked that I wanted to chew on, so to speak, you know, from a creative and thinking and nerdy fanboy comic book nerd standpoint, that I was like, if they, I kind of hope this does well enough, and I don't know what the plan is because they can always change, of course. But if they said, oh, we're going to let Zack Snyder do a sequel to this Justice League movie or a movie that's a follow-up to it, I would be much more interested in watching that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't watch a movie that was a sequel or a follow-up to Joss Whedon's Justice League. But I would watch... I would be interested in watching a follow-up movie to the Snyder Cut. Now, he's got to prove it. You know, he's got to make a good movie, but I'd be interested in it.
And it'll depend on how many downloads they actually get and signups they get to HBO Max this week. Mm-hmm. This is on the website CNET.com. It's a very legit...
familiar.
Yeah, and they have a couple of things. This is what they... In their review of the movie, this is what they said. The Snyder Cut presents nothing meaningful or significantly new. For example of how a re-edited version can deepen a story, look at Blade Runner, the fabled director's cut, because it added fascinating nuance and ambiguity to the question of whether the hero was human. But the four-hour Snyder cut of Justice League feels like essentially the same movie as the two-hour theatrical version, just longer. At times, it feels less like a story and more like a free-roaming video game where you wander about the DC universe interacting with non-playable characters. And don't even get me started on the tacked-on mini-movies designed to set up sequels that will never come. What's that about? Without giving spoilers.
I would definitely disagree with the point of saying it's just the same movie, only longer. There's a lot that's significantly different about this, but I would say... For me, it comes down to, listen, why do I go to the movies? Why on earth would we say, hey, you know what I want to do? I want to go sit in a big dark room with a bunch of other strangers who are eating. You know, like, and we'll all watch a movie together. Like, why, who in their right minds would do that? And so my gauge is like, is it worth it for me to see that? Did I enjoy myself? Did I enjoy the experience? I don't care if it's Oscar caliber acting or not. I don't care if the writing is perfectly, you know, structurally sound, blah, blah, blah. Like, there is a time and place for those things, and they're very important things in creative storytelling. But what it comes down to is, did I go into this theater or did I sit down and watch this thing, and did I enjoy it? Did I enjoy it?
Yeah.
Did I enjoy myself while I watched it? Did I want to jump off the roof after I was done with this, or did I want to jump up and down? And I think with the Snyder Cut, I enjoyed myself. Like I said, I didn't feel like it was 4 hours wasted. I got done with it, and I was like, okay, yeah, like I enjoyed that. Joss Whedon Justice League, I hated it. I wanted to get blasted drunk.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that need with this one. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed myself.
I think you have done a remarkable job of not spoiling any of the spoilers, but I have a pretty good idea. If I want to see the movie, I want to see this series, the movie, or it's either 4 parts, 6 parts, whatever they're doing to it. I want to see it now. I was not a fan of the Justice League, and I am personally a fan of much of Joss's work, so it surprised me that I was not a fan of that. But you know, maybe he was, who knows. But we are going to end this with our final call, last call. We're going to go around, let's let everybody know where people can find you, and if you have anything else to say. Tell you what, I'm going to start this time, and we'll end down with Ben, and Ben will take us out. So my name is Jim Fry. You can find me at The Con Guy. You can find me on Twitter at Jim Fry LA, or you can find me on Instagram at James D. Fry. And I want to respond to a little comment down here from Brad. Brad says, I am more stoked to see the Kid 90 documentary from Soleil, how do you say that? Soleil Moon Fry. Soleil Moon Fry and Justice League 2.0.
Any relation, Jim?
I'm sorry?
Any relation?
No.
Guys know who that is, right?
Yeah, that's Punky Brewster.
Yeah.
By the way, Brad, just to let you know, I watched that documentary. Me and Luke, I watched it with Darian. Me and Darian watched a documentary about Punky Brewster. I'm sure you're not surprised. But no, the thing was, Luke and Jared Lee, they know, like, Luke, you guys had a video camera growing up where you recorded everything that you guys did, kind of like from like high school on. So Moon Fry.
We had this thing called a video camera when we grew up, Jim.
Yep. Yes, I know. But Miss Moon Fry, Soleil Moon Fry, she had a video camera from the time she went on as Punky Brewster, age 7, until age like 40. And she recorded years of documentary stuff with all the stars, Brian Austin Green, who played Zach on Saved by the Bell? That guy. And then
Paul Gosselaar?
Paul Gosselaar, that's his name.
Yeah.
And about 15 to 20 other people that she documented her friendship with over the years. It is so interesting. It's sad because some of these people, she has interviews with them. She talks to people on the last night they were alive before they died or committing suicide. And it's like, wow, it's a gut punch. This is not just like a goofy, fluffy thing. It's a really good documentary. So I encourage anybody on Hulu, if they want to watch, it's Kid 90. It's a great documentary. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Cheeseman and Jerry.
We hope the laptop doesn't die. I don't have the cord with me, so we could put out any second. But it's been good to say hello. And I'm Cheeseman. You can find me at Cheese on Couch.
I'm Jake at the Jacob Assistant. You can find me on Instagram at the Jacob Assistant.
And I do want to say one last thing. Love your friends. Love the people in your life. I lost a dear friend here recently, Chris M. Bowden. Jake went to school with him as well. But love your friends. Rest in peace, Chris. Prayers to you. Prayers for your family. And love you, buddy.
Amen. Amen on that. Derek.
Hey, I'm Derek. I'm still, my Twitter handle at ConGuyDerek is still there with some older stuff from some past conventions. If you want to reminisce, I'll let you know when I'm actually out there using it again. At the moment, that's just not an option. But you can still find me here.
All right.
I'm Katie Kawamoto, AKA, and you can find me on Twitch and everything on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, at KT_Christine. I've been playing through Ghost of Tsushima, still doing some Witcher 3. I did want to give a shout out to the movie Palm Springs for winning the Golden Globe for Best Comedy. It's absolutely delightful. If you have not seen it, please do. You will enjoy it. I rewatched it the other day. I was catching up on all my TV and I was watching This Is Us, which is always good for a good cry. So if you need to cry, definitely watch This Is Us. But I caught up on it and they actually honored one of the people who was behind creating the technology that gave us the ability to live stream video today. He was one of the teams on the team originally that helped create email, which led to what we do. And they honored him with a little his story on This Is Us. And I just thought that was so classy in a time of all the craziness to go on to be like, hey, thank you for this because you're the reason why all of us are able to do what we're doing now and that we wouldn't have been able to do 40 years ago. So.
Cool.
All right, everybody, I guess I'll take us out. Let's see, a few things today, my parting shots, whatever you want to call them. First of all, I love that we have, we now have these movies that are getting released directly into our homes. It's a great thing. But I'll tell you what, guys, I miss going to a movie theater and sitting in a dark room with a bunch of strangers who are eating. I really do. A night out to the movie theater has always been a blast for me. Mm-hmm. And we're so close. We're so close right now. And as I've mentioned on the show before, my day job right now, I work for the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, and I am working on scheduling people for COVID-19 vaccine appointments right now. And so it's a lot of work, but it's very rewarding because I can tell how excited people are when they get a vaccine shot scheduled and they're just relieved. And so I would encourage everybody, you know, look into it, look into reliable sources. If you're a bit questionable on vaccines or just this in general, as the Samblings have said before, coming from the perspective, the medical community perspective, which they have a connection to, this isn't, you know, some people are like, oh, this was too quick for a vaccine to come out. It actually isn't. They just approved it quickly because we need it. I encourage everybody, go out and get a stab and jab, get your shot. And I'm going to get mine as soon as I'm eligible. But wait, you know, do your best to wait your turn. If you get an opportunity, I don't blame you. But, you know, there are definitely more vulnerable people who need to get that first. Go out and get that shot. And then slowly and carefully and cautiously, we'll move back into a life that resembles what it was before. I got my vaccine, Ben. We can be friends again. I'm not vaccinated yet. I haven't got my yet. I work from home. Nobody's going to be like, he needs one. I'm very much looking forward to going back. I know from a connection that said, hey, Disneyland is now having some companies recalibrating their rides, you know, so it's on the horizon and we all need to do our part. We're all in this together. Be supportive, be kind to each other, be there for each other. I would hate this. I know that society is just going to go back to being the same self-centered, selfish assholes that we have been before COVID, but let's try and at least temper that a little bit. Let's do our best to be kind, to be good, to be supportive, to be helpful to each other as we come out of this, to be careful around each other and to love each other. Go get a shot. Keep wearing your mask until we've got this thing fully under control, because it's not under control yet, but it's getting there. And I love you all. I can't wait to see you at the next con. I've got some ideas for cosplays and I want to see yours too. And remember everybody, my name is Ben Cleaver. The reason I'm drinking out of this red cup is because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at BenKlieWer. Woo!
And with that, good night, everybody.
Good.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.